1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 31. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. My brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels amongst you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Jesus. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of his age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Paul, and I'm going to try to share. But before we share, let's pray. Lord, more than anything, we want to hear from you. We could have lots of good ideas ourselves, but that's not what matters. What matters is that our hearts are open to you. And so, Lord, if you want to say something through me, that's great. If you want to say something, just get people to ignore me and say something directly to them, that's great too. Because what matters is you. And that each of us is touched by you and hears from you. So we offer you this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, as a bit of background, I'm going through a rubbish time at work. And I am absolutely overloaded. And so I'm not taking any preaching engagements. at all. But you also know, because I've shared previously, that Thames keeps asking me to change my password on a regular basis. And that changing my password, I always ask God what he wants me to be praying about in the next 2 months. And we've been through the family. We've been through holiness. We've been through joy. We've been through a number of other things. And this time round, it was unity. And I said to God, why unity? And he said, just pray for unity. It's okay. So for the last 2 months, I've been praying for unity. So Joy came and she said, will you please preach? And before I could say no, I said, well, what's it about? And she said, well, it's 1 Corinthians 1:10 to 30. It's all about unity. So that was the end of my no. So the question was, God, what do you want to say? I'm going to pull from 6 different translations. If you're interested in it afterwards, I'm happy to share the translations because there's different things that come out. And we're just going to go through and we're going to look at some things that God might want to have to say through it. And I will try to talk over the competition. But if the competition's better than me, just listen to them rather than me. Right, let's go to the first, to the next slide. So this one comes from the Living Tree, which is the Messianic Jewish Bible. And it says, I appeal to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. I appeal to you on behalf of Yeshua the Messiah. This isn't just, hey guys, here's a really interesting idea. This is saying this is on the heart of Jesus. This isn't just, by the way, it would be nice. It goes on to say, I put this as urgently as I can. It matters so much to Jesus that it matters to me that I need it to matter to you. You must get on with one another. Common purpose, common mind. Guys, we're never going to be the same. God didn't make us the same, and he wouldn't want us to be the same. I don't have nearly that high a pitch. So I'm not going to try to be the same. This isn't about being the same. This is about being united. This is about belonging together. This is about mattering to each other. You can choose your friends. And there's some good things about choosing friends. You know, we need to be careful who we choose as our friends. You can choose your political party. You know, you can even choose whether you want to be in the European Union or not in the European Union, and I'm not going to begin to go there. You can choose who you're going to vote for. But Christy cannot choose not to be a brother of Isaac. Whatever she chooses, she will still be Isaac's sister. I never said I was perfect, but I'm forgiven, and that's what matters. I have one sister and one brother. No matter where they are in the world, no matter where I am in the world, we belong to each other. And in Christ, we matter to each other. And it isn't when I'm all sorted and pulled together and when I get it right, then I matter. It's in the middle of getting it wrong. It's in the middle of falling over. It's in the middle of screwing up. I belong. And I need each of you to belong to me and I need to belong to each of you. It's as we belong to Jesus, we belong to each other, and we don't have the right to choose differently. Here in the UK, you don't have the privilege. In the United States, we love, as you drive down the street, here's the First Baptist Church of Homer, New York. And you drive a little farther, and here's the Second Baptist Church of Homer, New York. And you drive a little farther, and here's the Third Baptist Church of Homer, New York. You drive a little farther, here's the Church of Christ. You drive a little farther, here's the only true Church of Christ. You drive a little farther, here's the only real true Church of Jesus Christ. Yeah, guys, Jesus is Jesus. And I think some of us are going to really struggle when we get to heaven and we find that Jesus let the Russians in, or the communists in, or the North Koreans in. What we've got to learn is that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. And it's about how do I work with you? How do you work with me? How do we help each other to see more of Jesus and to become more like Jesus and to live more for Jesus? Unity isn't just about a concept. It's about how does that work in our lives. So for me, let's make it personal. I pray a lot. I like to know from God what's on his heart. And as a church, as a wider church, for a number of years, going back, there were some specific things that God told us that we chose not to obey. Not here at New Hope, but as part of the wider Greyfriars Church. That hurt me. That has really hurt me. Because not only have we chosen to disobey God, but that's robbed us a lot of God's power. But I have a choice of whether I'm going to let that get in the way of my fellowship or whether I'm going to be united in spite of it. Because what's more important, that or Jesus? And I have a choice to make. It's a hard choice to make, but I've got to make it about whether unity matters. It may be really personal within us, because I'm me, myself, and I. And am I willing to love myself? Not just when I get it right, but when I get it wrong, am I willing to let Jesus love me within me, myself, and I? It might be with my colleagues. It might be. It's all about how do I let Jesus be Jesus and Lord of Lords. Right, let's go on. Next slide. So he starts to tell the story. He says, look, this is what's going on. You can be in my club. They're in their club. He's in his club. He's in his club. And he's telling the story of what was going on in Corinth. I'm on Paul's side. No, I'm on Apollos' side. No, I'm on Peter's side. Ooh, I'm on the Messiah. I'm the only true church of God. Carry on. And he says, guys, is Christ divided? You know, did I die for you? Did I baptize you? And then he does this wonderful thing. When I was in university, I had the chance, there was a drama person who came through who dramatized the letters of Paul. And he built on the stage this little prison cell, because most of the letters were written in prison. That was his stage. And, you know, we've kind of gotten spoiled by word processors. And the wonderful thing about a word processor is you can write everything out, and then you can go cut and paste and move things around. But Paul didn't do that. Paul just paced around his cell telling a story, and his scribe wrote it down as he did it. And an awful lot of the letters are really about train of thought. So you get this wonderful, well, I didn't baptize anybody except Crispus and Gaius, and I didn't baptize anybody else. Oh no, there was Stephanus as well, and his family. I don't think I baptized anybody else. Let's hope that if he did baptize somebody else, that that person can forgive. Oh yes, now where was I? Oh yes, so back to my train of thought. And there's a lot in Paul's letters that you need to understand. He's pacing around a room as he's dictating it. It's for me, it's quite humorous. I enjoy that the Gospels don't take themselves too seriously. Their content is absolutely serious, but they can have fun while they're at it. And he's saying, look, guys, it's not to a baptism that we belong. It's not to a theology that we belong. It's not to an idea that we belong. It's not to who taught us that we belong. It's to Jesus that we belong. I've tagged on here at the bottom from the Message, which I thought put it really wonderfully. He said, God didn't send me to you with a lot of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words. Next line. And he's saying, guys, at the heart of it is Jesus. And at the heart of it is what Jesus did for us. That Jesus loved each of us so passionately that he wanted to do everything to restore our relationship with him. And that it's not about our wisdom or our thinking or our theology or anything else. It's all about Jesus. Next one. So Paul's writing to Corinth. Let's just think a minute. Corinth is part of the Greek Empire, Greek civilization. In Corinth are people like Aristotle and Socrates, and you can go through the list. Corinth was all about intellect and reasoning and wisdom, and enlightenment came from that. That's how you made yourself better. That's how you became somebody, was by your reasoning and your wisdom and your intellect. And he's saying, guys, that's not what it's about. There's nothing wrong with reasoning. There's nothing wrong with wisdom. But it's about Jesus. It's about God reaching out to us, not about what we do for ourselves. And if God has to, he'll use foolishness if that's what it needs to break through to us. Can we have the next slide up? So in this whole thing, I guess a useful analogy is Gideon. So Old Testament, the battle of, Gideon's going to go into battle. He's against this huge army. And God says, you've got too many soldiers. You've got to cut back. And Gideon says, but I've only got about a tenth of the number that they've got. How am I going to ever defeat them? And God says, no, you got too many. And so he cuts back, and God says, you still have too many. So he cuts back, and God says, you still have too many. Why did God do that? Because God needed Gideon to know that the victory wasn't won because of Gideon or his soldiers. The victory was won because of God. And I think God does exactly the same with us. That that our salvation isn't about our wonderful thinking or our good praying or our good formulas or we did it the right way. Our salvation is because of Jesus and his incredible love for us. It's not because I get my act together that then Jesus loves me, because I'm going to screw up and I'm going to screw up and I'm going to screw up. That's the reality. It's that in spite of my screwing up, it's God who reaches out to me and God who cuts through. Let's just take... So we've already talked about that the Greeks. For the Greeks, it was all about wisdom. It was about getting your logic right. That's effectively what led you closer to God or closer to perfection. And Jesus said, you know, well, let's take it. God's the source of all wisdom. But salvation isn't about wisdom. Salvation is about God's grace and God's love for us. For the Jews, the crucifixion was a problem. Now, I've always jumped over this verse because it never meant, I'd never could, you know, I mean, it was, for the Jews, it was an obstacle. The Jews, in the Messiah, the Jews were looking for miracles as a sign and as a proof that he was the Messiah. For the Greeks, they were looking for wisdom. But Jesus ended up on a cross. And for the Jews, that's a problem. So why? Well, prosperity theology says that God wants to bless us. And if I walk closely with God, I will be blessed. The corollary of that is that if I'm not blessed, I must not be walking closely with God. If I'm not wealthy, I must not be walking closely with God. If everything's going wrong, I must not be walking closely with God. And Jesus is saying, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And we do it ourselves. You know, we see someone who's really got their act together, who's really, you know, their life is, and we think, man, they must be walking with God. But when I get sacked from my job, when I my car gets dispossessed, when I, you know, when the world starts falling around me, where's God? What have I done wrong? And God's saying, that's not my theology. My theology is I meet you where you're at. Just to give a bit of context to this next slide. For the Jews, Deuteronomy is very clear that someone who has committed a crime that's punishable by death, that's crucified on a tree, they are cursed by God. So they're just taking scripture and they're saying, how can this person who is crucified by God, don't let him defile your land, how can this be the Messiah? It doesn't work. And Jesus is saying, no, he's the Son of God and he's come to reach us and to love us and redeem us. Next one. So, yeah, and it's saying a lot of stuff that we see as nonsense. And I think the challenge to you and me is to think, what are the things that I put in the way of God? What are my expectations of God? God, when you do this, then I'll believe you. God, you know, if I could see this, am I willing to let God meet me where I'm at, for who I am, for my strengths, for my weaknesses? Am I willing to let God love me in spite of everything else? Next one. So, God calling us. Next slide. I've put two versions up here. This one is from The Message, and I'll just let you read it while I talk through, because I love, he puts it in a very different way. This is the NIV down here. And the gist of it is not that God only chooses unimportant people. The gist of it isn't that God, that if you have intellect, God can't use you. The gist of it is that our relationship with God doesn't depend on our intellect, doesn't depend on who we are, but that God chooses all of us to do what he's doing. I'd just like to throw in here, from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis. Sorry, can you do the next slide, please, Simon? No, back a bit. Get back that one, yeah. C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce. C.S. Lewis was dealing with this thing about, you know, when I get to heaven and God's going to choose the sheep and the goats and I go one way or another, you know, how does that decision work? And he writes this whole story. If you haven't read it, it's well worth reading. Because what he explores is that actually every decision I make, that I'm on a journey. And every decision I make, every time I choose to love or to not love, every time I choose for more of God or not more of God, every time I choose for unity or not unity, I draw closer and closer to God. So by the time I finally get to heaven, I realize that my whole life was a journey to heaven. But conversely, every time I choose to reject, every time I choose anger, every time I choose to say no, by the time I finally get to hell, I realize that my whole journey has, my whole life has been a journey to hell. It wasn't just by ending up there at the end. And this, the continuous here, the way God is always at work in us to make us, whether we're nobodies or not, God doesn't call just the somebodies. God calls all of us to belong to him. Next one. So this is the same Paul who's writing this, carries on in his second letter to the Corinthians, his second pacing around the cell, to talk about treasures, hidden earthen vessels. And he's saying, guys, it's not about the jar. It's about what's inside the jar that matters. And we are only treasures. Sorry, we are only clay jars to show that what matters is the treasure inside us, not the jar itself. And this is again from a context where the Greeks tried to build these amazing ornate jars with amazing decorations, and that's what was the value. And he said, no, the value isn't that. The value is what's in the jar. And actually, the more cracked the jar, the more we understand the value of the treasure that's inside it, not the jar. And I think a number of us are feeling like we're kind of cracked pots. And some of us are feeling more cracked than others. Yes, some of us are cracked pots, but some of us are just cracked pots. But it's not about the quality of a pot that I am. It's about the quality of the treasure that is inside my brokenness and whether I'm willing to bring my brokenness and my emptiness before the God of the universe who longs to fill me with treasure and with meaning and with purpose that is about him and not about me. Next slide. So this is the one about, my apologies, this is the one about C.S. Lewis and the great divorce and the journey. And what I loved about this one, so this is again from the Messianic Jewish Bible, that God brought you into union with Yeshua Messiah, and God has made the Messiah to be our wisdom. So here are the Greeks who the highest thing in the world, the most important thing to chase for is wisdom. And God's saying, Jesus is our wisdom. By him, we are being put right. That's a continuous verb. Man, if I have been put right, I'm in trouble because it ain't happened yet. And we're so good at looking at each other and saying, Tony, you still got a long way to go, mate. God is about continuously putting us right and helping us to walk and to grow and to learn so that we are becoming God's holy people. I will only be God's holy person when I'm before his throne in heaven. But in now, I will proceed to work to become God's holy person. Whoever wants to boast, let him boast in what the Lord has done. I liked the, sorry, I'm going to go back one, Simon. No, go back another one. I loved this one here. This is from the Message. If you're going to blow a horn, then blow a trumpet for God. And I thought that's a lovely way to put it. Carry on back again, Simon. Go forward. Carry on forward, forward again, back to where we were. And this is the way the more conventional ones do it. That it's all about Jesus. And it's all about whether I'm willing to let God work in me to let me become more and more like Jesus. And am I willing to belong to you, to each of us, in spite of our failings, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our imperfections? Because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And it's that each of us, we commit to each other, that each of us grows to be more and more like Jesus, that each of us grows to be a holy people that will one day stand before God in eternity. When it's you and me, the size of my nose, or whether I shake with my left hand or my right hand, or whether I wear a blue rosette or red rosette matters. When it's just you and me, whether I use big words or little words, or whether I spell them right or don't spell them right, seem to matter. In light of eternity, in light of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who spoke and all of creation came into being, come on, guys. Does my spelling really matter? Belonging to each other absolutely does. Because it was Yeshua, the Messiah. His heart is that we belong to each other. His heart is that we're united with each other. And his heart is that we become his people. Amen.